Good morning.
Good morning.
There's Rick Whittle. Good grief. It is good to see everyone this morning. My name is Kent Job, and it is an honor and a privilege to be here with you. I meant no disrespect. I was here 17 years ago and was the youth minister at University Boulevard and grew to love Karen Hunt. And when we started singing and she was sitting right behind me and started singing, I lost it. Just because I haven't Karen, I just love Miss Karen, and when I heard her sing, that was just a blast from my past, and it caught me off guard. But it was good to see Karen. To Karen's credit, she still knew about all my children and knew I was an Aggie fan and wondered how Arkansas was, and we caught up very quickly. And so it was good to see Miss Karen. I don't see slides, so I'm just rambling until... We're going to be in Matthew 25. If you want to go ahead and be turning over there, that's the direction we're going to head today. The topic I've been given is we're going to talk about the neglected. And I want to go a couple of different directions with that. When David approached me with this, we talked about the idea of the neglected and how we wanted to break that down at 9 o'clock each day. So I want to start off today with the idea of the neglected who. Tomorrow we'll talk about the neglected why we need to care for the neglected. And then on Wednesday, Lord willing, we'll talk about the how. Because it's one thing to address who we're talking about. It's another reason or another avenue to kind of look at why we need to minister to the neglected. No, we don't doubt that we need to, but let's look biblically at why we need to. And then finally, how that's going to actually take place. As David mentioned, 17 years ago, we looked like this. Oddly enough, it was 17 years ago yesterday that we interviewed in El Dorado, Arkansas. So it's kind of neat to be able to come back. If you knew us then, you need to see that we look like this now. And so we have changed. This kid here will be 18 in July, and will hopefully be attending Harding. If he won't graduate, we'd love to just keep him at the house, but I don't think he's going to stay. But anyway, Kara's doing great. Maybe you know Kara. She was a school teacher here. She's a school teacher in El Dorado. That's why she's not able to be here with us, but everybody's doing really good. And so Derek is 17, Austin is 14, and Briley, who runs our house, is 10. And so that's our brood and who we are. Anyway, so who are the neglected? The more I thought about this, there were two different directions I wanted to go. And so in the time we have today, I want to take them both. Because when we look at who are the neglected, it makes sense that the first one we think about is those outside of the church. If you're like me, if you grew up in the church and you're ministry-minded, one of the first things you're going to think about is the neglected is the least of these. Those that Jesus would talk about, those that were overlooked by society, and those that needed the attention of God Almighty. And the answer is yes. But there's also another part of the neglected that I think a 9 o'clock group needs to hear about. And that is the neglected inside the church as well. Because it's not just those that are neglected outside the church, outside of a body of believers that I think Jesus is concerned with. I think there's also some within the body of Christ that need to be addressed as well. I think both are important. I think if we manage our time wisely, we should be able to do both without any problem. So, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. All 3 days, we're going to spend time in this. Because I believe this passage will address all three questions. The who are the neglected, the why we need to minister to the neglected, and how we are to do it. And so this text is extremely important because Jesus is going to tell us what to expect. That if there's a final exam of sorts, we need to understand the practicality of ministering to the neglected. And so let's spend time today looking at it. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. And before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" 35, who are the neglected? Let's see. "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you came to me." Verse 37. "Then the righteous will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the kingdom will answer, and the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. 44. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It is so important that we understand who the neglected are. And this is one of those passages that it is difficult almost to misinterpret or to misunderstand. And if you're like me, for many years we would pray that God would give us opportunities to serve the neglected. Yet as we evolve and as we mature in our Christian walk, we're not asking for God to give us opportunities as much as we should be praying for God to open our eyes to the opportunities that are already there. Amen? That we don't have to ask for God to generate opportunities. They are all around us. That as we go about our business, it is simply looking at people with the eyes of Christ. Now, the context in which you and I live in, I'm in South Arkansas, you're in South Alabama. You are not going to encounter many naked people today. So we read that part and go, well, I don't know if that really applies to, we look at it and we kind of parse that out and go, I understand what he's saying, but we don't encounter that many people that are thirsty on a daily basis. And so what Jesus is trying to get across is, as we do so for the least of these, we minister in the way in which we can, and we'll talk about tomorrow why we need to do that and also how we need to do that. But I think it's so important that we understand who. Side. Oh, yes, it is. All right, there you go. All right, I tried your way too. Did I freeze it? I broke it. All right. It's important that we understand that all throughout Scripture, that Jesus ministered to those people that were the least of these. That the people that Jesus spent time with were the people that were often overlooked by society. It's tax collectors like Zacchaeus and Matthew. It's the woman caught in the act of adultery. It's the woman at the well. It's those that have leprosy and with blindness and with other disabilities. It's people that are shunned by society that Jesus is drawn to. And the part that continues to impress me as I grow in ministry is they are drawn to Him. In their sin, the woman caught in the act of adultery doesn't run from. She's embarrassed to be in His presence, but at the same time, she finds someone that will listen. The woman at the well in the same vein sees someone who will listen. Then when there's a party and Jesus is invited, He doesn't condone sin. Don't misunderstand. But He's drawn to the outcast. He's drawn to the neglected. And that's something we need to see. Again, here we go. The least of these, the wayward tax collectors, the robber on the side of the road, the woman who anointed Jesus' feet, the woman caught in the act of adultery, children, poor man Lazarus, the demon-possessed man, those hardest to love, those are the people that Jesus is drawn to. And as we seek to be more Christ-like, and as we pray that God will open our eyes to the opportunities around us, I want us to understand how important that is. Now, that's the first part. There are those who are neglected outside the church. Now, we all agree that the body of Christ is made up of people. Amen? That it's not a building. That it is the body of believers, the family of believers, the body of Christ. And I would contend today in this crowd, like Terry said last night, the majority of people that will sit in these pews last night and throughout this week are not unchurched folks, but rather churched folks. The Spiritual Enrichment Series. So when I talk about the neglected, it is important to talk about those outside the walls. I'm not downplaying the Great Commission. Please don't misunderstand. But I also want you to understand, I think that there are those that are neglected inside the body of Christ as well. And it's not just an indictment on South Alabama, it's an indictment on South Arkansas as well. Because a lot of times we can neglect those in our very own pews. It's kind of what I would call the squeaky wheel ministry. That if you are in crisis, if there's something going on in your world, then we'll give you attention. Whether it be a death or a funeral or a sickness or a sin in your life, ministers naturally go to the squeaky wheel, as they well should. That's not all bad. But the problem is, if we're not careful, those that are not squeaky can often be some of those who are neglected. I brought my church bulletin. I don't, or my directory. I don't travel without it. Because it's helpful for me in downtime to flip through those pages and see people that maybe I haven't seen at church in a while. Or maybe somebody that hadn't had a visit in a while. And if they're not going through something, or they're not actively engaged in our congregation, through just not being mean or ugly, just by human nature, they can fall through the cracks. And I contend, this is where I'm at in my walk. I contend that if you find a church that everybody in this binder loves and cares for one another, checks on each other when they're not there, and is being ministered to by people other than the paid staff, they're going to come to church. And they're going to invite their friends. You agree with that? That if you go to your church and you feel neglected, that unless something's wrong, unless I'm a squeaky wheel, no one's going to check on me, you are neglected. And A, you're not going to want to go, and B, you're sure not going to invite anybody else to go. I'm neglected, would you like to come with me? No one's ever had that conversation. But as we seek to minister to the neglected outside of the church and inside the church, it is so important that we understand that everybody in this binder is important to the family of God. And it's my job, not as a staff member, but as someone who ministers to a congregation, to make sure that everybody in this book is loved and cared for, and that nobody falls through the cracks. And we don't fall into the default, and that's what I think it is a default of squeaky wheel ministry. When we can't hit everybody, we hit those that are squeaking the loudest. And as you well know, a lot of times those that squeak the loudest, there's a reason. All right. So, that brings me to... I'm sorry. Mine's on top. I'm sorry. Well, again, then I can't do that. Let's talk about white crayons. That's what's coming next. Everybody should have a white crayon. At College Avenue, we do what we call worship bulletins. And as part of those worship bulletins for our kiddos, we have crayons. And we go to Walmart and we buy a whole bunch of crayons. And we go home on my card table because I do not have the spiritual gift of delegation. So we buy all these crayons and we come home and we spread them out on our card table. And my kids take 8 of them and they put them in a little Ziploc bag and we zip them up. And this big mound of crayons, when they're on sale, we'll get all these crayons. But we keep putting the white ones off to the side. Because kids on white paper on a Sunday morning have nothing to do with a white crayon. And so the preacher in me started to ask the question, what do you do with white crayons? Because for a long time we threw them away. So I did what people do in this generation. When you don't know what to do with something, what do? Well, you Google it. Yeah. And so there's several answers for what to do with white crayons. And this is what I came up with. In the interest of time, I won't ask you. I'll just tell you. So here we go. To color Easter eggs, as you know, if you write on one and then you dye it, whatever you does stay. Also, the blending of colors to make them lighter, coloring on black paper, and boundaries when painting. Lots of things to do with white crayons. But for a kid on a Sunday morning with a white piece of paper for a children's worship bulletin, my 5-year-old, when she was 5, looked at me and said, "This one's broken." Because in her world, it was. It didn't color on her white paper. Now, I want you, when you look at a white crayon, that's why everybody has one. And by the way, if you're ever so inclined, Google's where you find out what to do. Amazon's where you go to buy a whole bunch. And so I like my white crayons. I keep those on. You never know when you may need them. I want you to understand we serve a God who has a way of using things that we might deem useless. And you know that. On a day when we talk about who are the neglected, you look throughout Scripture. And a stick in the book of Exodus becomes a snake and shows the power of an almighty God. Trumpets, pitchers, and torches are weapons in the hands of a mighty God. That might not seem like much, but in the hands of a mighty God, they do amazing things. 5 stones and a sling, white crayons. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. A manger. Things that we would look at, that we would deem and go, "Well, I don't know what you can do with that." God says, "I'll show you what you can do with that." It's in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, where it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider the appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" There are white crayons sitting in your congregation that are often neglected. It may be the woman at the well. It may be the prostitute Rahab. It may be Matthew. It may be Zacchaeus up in a tree. If you're going to be honest with yourself, when we look at Scripture, there are some that even view Jesus as a white crayon of sorts. Scripture to back it up. 1 Peter 2:7 says, "Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him." I love this. "When Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" Nazareth. "Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. And he said, "Come and see." I want us to understand that in our own pews, there are those that are overlooked, that God can do amazing things through. When we acknowledge who are the neglected and do our best to find out why we need to minister to them and how we need to do it, which will be Tuesday and Wednesday. Not only do we need to, Not only do we need to not overlook the ordinary things around us, we must also realize that everyone's part is essential. If we had time, we'd read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know the section that talks about all the different parts of the body and how every part is indispensable. And we all can't be a hand. We all can't be an eye. But every part is essential and important to what is going on within the inner workings of the body of Christ. It's at the end of the book of Romans in chapter 16, what he called, what I call the shout out. He didn't call it that. I call it that. But that list of names at the end of the book of Romans, when he just gives a list of people, men and women, verse 13 even talks about a guy named Rufus, which I just think is a fun name. And as he's given all those different ministry names, people in his ministry that have been instrumental, some names you've heard of, some you have not. Some would be white crayons of sorts, but in Paul's ministry, they were crucial. And it's time as a church that we realize that and we understand it. Even if you took the time and effort to find out how many times the disciples are actually mentioned in Scripture. Peter, obviously, I think there's, 183? You look at Andrew, only 14. Out of those that Jesus chose, there were those that were much more public, those that much more ink was spilled over. But each one was important to the ministry and the working of Christ. All throughout Scripture, you see people that may not have as much play, but are still extremely important to the message, the will, and the Word of God. And it's important that we understand it. Ephesians chapter 4. Go turn with me there. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. There we go. And he says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes." Verse 15, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped," and catch this, "when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Every part of the body is important. Who are the neglected? It is those outside the church. Absolutely. It is the least of these. It is those that we talked about in Matthew 25. But it is also those who are within the church if we're not careful and if we're not conscious about it. It's important that we understand and that we grasp it. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone serves, he should do it with all the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." When we acclimate those that are neglected, when we're conscious of them and their needs, we understand how important it is to what takes place. My father-in-law is a jeweler, and he knows what all of that does. I do not. But I know all the inner workings of that watch are important. And that one of those little cogs, maybe a white crayon, it may not seem like much, but if you take apart a watch and you put it all back together and there's a couple of pieces off to the side, you've got problems. When we acknowledge who the neglected are and we realize that every single piece is important and we ask for just an extra measure of awareness of that in our lives, I think God can do some amazing things. Those inside and outside the church are in need of the love of Christ. Again, we don't pray for opportunities. We pray for our eyes to be open to the opportunities that God has already laid out. before us, because that makes all the difference in the world. I never end a sermon or a class where I don't do this. At College Avenue, our mission statement is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourself, and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, if we're going to acknowledge the neglected and who they are, if we're going to fully do that, I would argue and contend we cannot love the Lord our God with all, there's your word, all our heart, soul, mind, and strength if we're going to choose to neglect those that God has called us to pay attention to. It affects our ability to carry out our mission. If we don't have a keen eye for those that are neglected outside and inside the church, it makes it difficult for us to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we're not willing to address and acknowledge and identify those who are neglected in the church and outside the church, it makes it extremely difficult to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That message being that Jesus came to earth, that He died on the cross, that He rose from the grave, He ascended into heaven, and we believe with all of our heart that He is coming back. But in the meantime, we live a part of the kingdom now. We live to the life that we anticipate to take place. We live the way we want it to see it lived for all eternity. How we treat our fellow man, how we treat the least of these. And that all comes with identifying first and foremost, who are the neglected? Lord willing, I hope you'll come back tomorrow and bring a friend. Tomorrow we're going to talk about ministering to the neglected and what that means. And then we talked about who they are today. Tomorrow we're going to lay out a case, Lord willing, for why. Now, you know you should, right? Don't come tomorrow because you're going, well, I know I should because the Bible says so. Yes, it does. But we're going to unpack that a little bit further, right? So today we're talking about who they are. Keep your white crayon. Remember, when you see that white crayon, to remember people inside the church and outside of the church that are often neglected, that God can do amazing things with if they're acknowledged and plugged in. I really appreciate your attention. Let me close this. Do I need to do anything besides pray? That's the most I can do, right? Thank you. Very good. All right, here we go. So we're going to close with a word of prayer, and then I'll turn it over to Mr. Dave. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank You. We just thank You. We thank You for the day. We thank You for the weather. We thank You for our health. I'm thankful for this body of believers. I'm thankful for Isaiah City. I'm thankful for this spiritual enrichment series, Father. I'm thankful for the mighty ways in which You are working in this community through these churches. Father, I just pray that as we look at the neglected, Father, we do not pray for opportunities. They are already there. Father, we pray for eyes to be open. We pray for courage to step out in faith and act on the ministry needs You put right in front of us. Father, be with those outside of Your body. Put inside us a burning desire to minister. Father, as we know when Paul writes, even to the point of tears, those who are enemies of the cross, Father, help us to develop that mindset. Help us to identify those who are neglected, and with compassion and in the steps of Your Son, model His behavior. Father, for those within the body of Christ who are neglected, Father, forgive us. Help us as Christians, as disciples, as followers of You, to be attentive to the needs of those who aren't always squeaky, but are still children of Yours. Father, strengthen our congregations. May we enjoy unity, may we enjoy peace, and may we further the bounds of Your kingdom. Father, bless the work that goes on in South Alabama, bless the work that goes on in South Arkansas, and all throughout the world. Use us as Your ambassadors, as salt and as light. Forgive us when we fall short, defeat us in the things that are wrong, and in all things, may we give glory and honor to You as we abide by Your will and by Your word. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.